So I'm kind of really interested in our own, what our experience was of doing the meditation practice. But maybe just before we share around that, just there's this kind of quintessential moment in Buddhism of the point after which the Buddha has gained enlightenment, where he spends time on his own reflecting on the experience. And part of that is that he spends a week thanking the tree under which he has sat. So there's some very beautiful depictions of the Buddha kind of sitting at a distance looking at the tree, and yeah, thanking it for its protection and for the kind of the part that the tree has played in this very special moment. Because he's kind of interestingly, gratitude is almost his kind of initial response to his enlightenment, and he's kind of he's looking, he wants to express gratitude towards someone or something, since part of his enlightenment experience is that he kind of sees through the kind of theistic quagmire, and realizes that there's no creator, he can't express gratitude to Brahma in that tradition, just nature itself, just the tree itself, is what he finds to express his gratitude to. And that's a very moving moment. He then goes on to express gratitude to his own teachers, and to his other shramanas, the guys who he's been hanging out with for 6 years doing his terrible austerities, and then he, you know, on the basis of that, of the gratitude that he feels towards them, he thinks, oh, maybe I'll go and share with them what I've learnt, which is what he does, and that's how the Sangha starts, this first turning of the wheel of the Dharma. So in some ways, our whole, you know, our whole tradition is founded on gratitude. I don't suppose that's not unique at all in spiritual practice. I think it is significant. I am kind of aware that for some of us in particular, you know, that the gratitude towards our parents can be a tricky area. I don't know if anyone has had any particular experiences there or in any of those stages, really. Would anyone care to share their experience of that meditation?
Yeah, I had a slightly uncomfortable response at one point. It was about the friends, and I was thinking gratitude towards a friend, and then I suddenly sort of hit a wall, if you like, and had this reaction of, well, actually, why the hell should I feel gratitude towards you? Mm. A sort of resentment almost of a feeling like that. And it wasn't all the time. But I found that a bit uncomfortable.
Say more. What was this person?
It wasn't that they'd done anything to me.
Okay.
It's just that I was feeling gratitude, and then I suddenly had a sense of, well, actually, I don't want to feel. Feeling gratitude towards you?
They didn't feel appropriate.
No, well, it was appropriate. I was holding on to my own gratitude and didn't let it out.
Okay.
That kind of thing. Okay. I think. I mean, it's all quite subtle, so.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so Sangha actually has got some interesting things to say about the things that kind of get in the way of, of gratitude, which maybe we'll have a look at. I don't know if they may or may not make resonate for you in this particular instance. But yeah, you know, that's one of the great things about meditation, isn't it? It kind of shows us where, you know, what's easy and what's not.
I suppose ego can get in the way, can't it?
I suppose it can. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Sangrashta talk, yeah, that kind of, you know, that our sort of strong individualistic tendency, you know, which different people have to different degrees, and there are kind of cultural aspects to that as well. But yeah, you know, part of our cultural conditioning is having that idea that somehow we can, you know, we can stand alone and we don't have to give thanks to no one for nothing. Notice if that's running for us. Anyone else? I'm getting some nod. Some people are nodding. Yeah.
I relate to the attitude of gratitude. So kind of what I wanted to share about
everyone just quiet apart from you.
Was I don't know, during the meditation, what I noticed was that a lot of times my gratitude comes from an internal thought or almost a self-assurance, like, oh, I'm grateful for being on this path, and then I feel the gratitude. Or I'm grateful for my health, or I'm grateful to be alive, and then the emotion follows. It's almost like a self-convincing statement. And it's more rare for me to walk down the street and feel gratitude naturally.
Okay.
Like, it does happen. Like, when I see a beautiful sunrise or the clouds or the trees, I feel a certain connectedness. But most of the gratitude that I feel, and I guess that came up because we were asked during the meditation to reflect upon all these things, and automatically I felt gratitude. But then I thought, I'm provoking that. Is it ever the case where, you know, it comes from an external source?
And or it's just a kind of spontaneous response.
Yeah.
Well, I think as you said it, I think it can happen.
Yeah.
But I think Kritanyata, which is the kind of the Sanskrit word for gratitude, it does. So there's the kind of, there's the there's the anyata bit of it means kind of recognizing. So to some extent that has got a kind of conceptual. I mean, we talk about feeling gratitude, don't we?
It's got to be a felt sense, surely.
Yeah, I think it has to be a felt sense, but I think it's fine for us to kind of prompt ourselves. You know, and Buddhism's quite clear about the, you know, the importance of our kind of cognitive.
Yeah.
The developing wholesome thoughts,
yeah.
Developing wholesome states of mind is very
it's
very important.
This evening, when I saw Balasa Mori was doing a talk on gratitude, I thought, I'm going to come to the Buddhist Center and give thanks to this man.
Well, I'll give thanks to you. Thanks for coming.
And also the thing around creating gratitude for people in my life. Actually, someone said that to me years ago on a retreat, actually, to write gratitude lists about people that I appreciate and why I appreciate them and the aspects of the relationship I appreciate with them.
Yep.
And that, when I remember that, I get that stuff that can separate me and get me caught up in all my own stuff. When I actually get in touch with that, that's very helpful too.
Well, yeah. So, one of Sangrach's things around lack of gratitude or ingratitude is forgetfulness. You know, we simply kind of forget what we've been given, and sometimes, you know, life's so, you know, it's such a kind of scrap so often, isn't it? Just getting through life, that you know, it can be, I think, very easy just to forget all these all the help that we've had. In getting where we've got. So, I mean, I think that's fine. I mean, you know, we may. I think we might find that, you know, the more we kind of consciously bring to mind people that we're grateful for, that kind of, you know, starts to literally open the heart.
Yeah.
And then gratitude becomes more spontaneous. Yeah, I mean, it's very much part of the Buddhist path to, you know, to use our intention to create the felt sense.
I think because I practice them as a bhavana, that actually, it's very, for me, close. To
sure.
Because you're doing loving kindness, it's kind of like gratitude. So even on the way here today on my bicycle, my lock, because my, it just fell off my bicycle and I was zooming along, so I had an emergency stop and then go and pick it up. And somebody, because it had fell in the middle of the road, some person had just picked it up.
Mm.
And I went, you know, and then I just said, oh, that's really kind of you, thank you.
Mm.
And that came to mind when I was downstairs, you know, on the cushion. But so many things just I feel grateful for. And some, you know, I looked at the... And then when you were talking about, you know, you said that you came because you know that you were talking today.
Mm.
And I looked at those, the tea containers. And I thought of you. I was grateful, you see. And downstairs, the rebirth.
Mm.
And the, you know, the
oh, the labels on the dustbins.
Yes, I love that so much. And again, that sort of brings up gratitude. Oh, how wonderful you thought it, you were able to think about it and then put it into practice. And, you know, all this sort of thing. So I just feel really grateful in many ways. And I came here to support you as well. So it was like...
All we need is those rattles, like the Leicester City football team, if they win the Premiership, that they've been handing out to all of their
that's
fans.
That's exactly what we need. That's exactly
stuff
what we
on
need.
The bench.
Why didn't I do that?
Lively crew, come to support you, mate.
Lovely. Anyone else come across anything in the meditation practice that was new to them or?
Well, I suppose I found it very difficult to get access to gratitude in regard to parents and ancestry, like probably some other people too. And I found that I cheated a little bit then and returned to metta for a moment. And that was very good. That kind of helped me out to access gratitude again.
Okay.
Yeah, but yeah, it was a bit of a struggle.
But can you appreciate the value of the practice in that context?
Yes, I think so. Yeah. It's a bit. There's some inner struggle going on. There's some voice that says, "Don't be grateful. You know, don't do it." But yeah. It's worth the struggle, I guess. I feel.
Thanks, Jenna. Yeah, I don't. Does that quality of gratitude towards our ancestors? I mean, it's something that I've only kind of been doing really in the last 2-3 years, I suppose.
My mate, in Cambridge, he had a kid with his wife, second child, and they've been trying for about 8 or 9 years, and then second child. And there's this book that I've got, and it's got this Native American Indian saying. It said one of the vital things to teach our children is the very ground they walk in on is the ashes of our ancestors.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's there in most kind of shamanic, you know, I guess that's a kind of shamanic tradition, probably. In the shamanic traditions, yeah, I mean, ancestor worship is fairly kind of central. So I went to Japan a couple of years ago, and so Shinto, which is their kind of animistic, shamanistic practice, it's all around, a lot of it is to do with ancestor, expressing gratitude to the ancestors. But yeah, I did a retreat with Jill Peirce, who teaches overtone chanting. She's a Buddhist. But yeah, so we were doing a lot of chanting up the lines, she calls it. So expressing gratitude through chanting, through sound, and kind of sending that back up the ancestral lines. Her husband's Rupert Sheldrake, who's you might know from the morphogenetic fields, if that means anything to you. So the whole way in which, yeah, everything that happens is a field phenomenon, and obviously resonant fields are affected by sound. So that's where the two of them kind of lock into. But I find it very moving, actually. And I kind of noticed, I don't know if anyone had this experience, that the maternal line and the paternal line have quite a kind of different atmosphere to them. Anyone else? Anyone else get that? The maternal line and the paternal line have a very different kind of atmosphere to
them. Maternal and the paternal.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're working with four, Joseph, so I guess that's even more common. But yeah, you may not be the only one. Anyone else have that?
Yeah, I have that. I mean, I grew up Buddhist just by name, and we every new year we would pray to our ancestors. We have an altar at my home, and I never understood why was I paying thanks to these people, these faces I didn't know.
Okay.
And only since I've been starting to do this practice recently have I realized, I mean, the whole lineage and the understanding that essentially I'm a seed from them, you know. Mm. And you can just draw a line. Mm-hmm. And without their existence, I wouldn't be here. Mm. And it's really, I understood it growing up in the culture, but now there's so much more deeper meaning to that practice. Mm.
Thank you.
Mm. What is deep meaning in a nutshell? Can you evoke it?
And try. I mean, I guess for me, I mean, I'm at the forefront of this ancestral lineage, and I guess they have passed on suffering and joy to me, and in this moment, I guess it's my responsibility to transform as much suffering into joy as and I can pass it down to the next generation. So it's this long string that I'm kind of in the front or in the middle of, and I'm grateful for them because they have allowed me to be alive, be present, and to participate in this world, and it's my duty to continue with that.
Thank you. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, but also interestingly, of course, in Buddhism we have this, you know, we've got our kind of genetic ancestry, but then there's this kind of sense in which also we are the effects of conditions from previous lives as well. So those two. Sort of pathways for me kind of somehow sort of strangely weave together. Don't ask me how. But I mean, and then there's this interesting idea that in Buddhism that we actually choose our parents.
Is that a common theology?
Yeah. Well, certainly in Tibetan Buddhism. It's there in Thailand as well, so it's there in Theravada. So, yeah, I mean, in a way, you could say that that's our kind of previous life stream, kind of then sort of segueing with the ancestral, with the genetic stream at that moment. I mean, I know, time breaks down, whatever. For those of us who maybe have some ambivalence around our relationship with our parents, well we chose them, so you know, what does that say?
What does that say?
Well, that's our the something about that situation that is there's a kind of karmic koan, karmic puzzle in that situation.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
If we're born into difficult circumstances, you know, that's the lesson that we've got to learn. Just like our friend, sorry, what's your name?
Hung.
Yeah, I mean this idea, you know, that we're kind of, you know, we get dealt a certain hand of cards, and you know our task is to play that hand to the best, you know, to the best of our ability.
Yeah.
And sure, if we're fortunate enough to meet the Dharma, then that's gonna make us better poker players, but because we start to understand the game a bit better. If we want to ask that question, you know, what are we here for? Then I think that idea that we're here to kind of to work through what hasn't been worked through in the past, either in previous lives or in the ancestors. I think that's a pretty good one.
That's what family constellation therapy is about. That in some of what you've just mentioned, the ancestral stuff that gets passed on,
yeah.
The scripts that we then create as a result of the conditionality and the unconscious projections that have been put onto us.
Joseph, where do all these words come from, man? They just pour out of you.
Yeah. Mirrors. Indra's net, mate.
Well, yes, Indra's net. Is a beautiful image of our interconnectedness as well. How about the difficult people in our lives? Were we able to manage any gratitude towards them? You're smiling ruefully.
Well, the most, I'm not sure it's an answer to your question, but the most powerful part of the practice we did was was the passing of merit, and I couldn't believe I was saying the words I was saying, but I said them. I thought that was incredibly powerful.
Okay.
The concept that you accumulate something from a practice and then you offer it, you give it away and you pass it on, which in a way is kind of ancestral, isn't it? It's saying it's not necessarily me. It's not, you know, I'm just a part of this.
Okay. So you hadn't done that practice before necessarily, transferring merit?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't think I have.
Yeah.
Not directly.
Was that new to other people?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, okay. You're not going to pooja, Richard.
Yes, but I'd forgotten that there was that bit in it.
You did stay to the end, did you?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
And I'd forgotten that there was that bit.
Okay.
I have done it recently.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, I concentrated more with the words, I think.
Okay.
This evening.
So yes, I think that, you know, that kind of, you know, well, generosity and gratitude, they've got a, you know, there's a strong connection there.
And maybe also this, you mentioned service. That was very important.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, I came from, more or less directly from work here, and I work in with a person in a group home not far from here.
Yeah.
I've worked for many years, and actually one of his flatmates was going through quite a crisis, which nobody really understands. And I sort of felt, you know, it's my job, I don't directly work with him, but I kind of felt grateful that he chose me and another one of the staff there to really open up that crisis for him. So it's nice to be able to offer something, I suppose, or be used in that way. It's always great. I'm not sure that's difficult, but it was something about being service.
Okay, yeah, and being asked.
I was just thinking, you know, the generosity is one of the affections, isn't it?
Yep.
Is gratitude one of them? I don't think it is, is it?
No.
I don't know if it's part of it.
not part of the traditional set. No, yeah, I mean, Katanyatara is not necessarily a word that you necessarily are that familiar with.
I've never even heard of it before.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, it's kind of, I think, you know, it's very much tied up with generosity. You know, in that, I think generosity would be a natural kind of response to a feeling of gratitude, maybe. You know.
Oh, I was just going to say, the difficult person is much easier to feel gratitude towards them, I think, than to in the metta-bhavana, to feel kindness.
Okay.
Because you can be easily grateful to a person that's throwing all kinds of obstacles at you and making you learn and test yourself and become a better person in just dealing with the perhaps.
Okay.
So
you kind of followed my logic in that one.
Well,
in that stage there.
Yeah.
Good.
It made a lot of sense.
Good.
To me.
Yeah, I mean, and again, you know, if we kind of bear karma in mind, you know, to that extent, you know, the same way that we choose our parents, you know, maybe our, you know, those difficult people, you know, somehow we attract them because we, you know, we need them. There's that interesting story about, I think, was it Krishnamurti? I think they lived in a community. There was a very, very difficult person there who really wound everyone up, and then he left, and Krishnamurti sent for him to get him back again, and the rest of them went, what did you do that for? He said, no, you need this guy, he's the grit in the oyster. So yeah, we should be
I didn't know what grit in the oyster.
Oh well, that's the pearl. Well, the pearl develops around the grit. That's why the oysters develop the pearl because there's some irritant inside them that they then coat with this beautiful pearlescent material. Yeah, but yes, if you dissolve your pearl in vinegar like a Roman, you know, I guess at the end of, in the middle of that, there's going to be some bit of grit. So yeah, let's just sit and maybe just, you know, again recall some of those to whom we can feel a sense of gratitude.
Okay, I've got something.
Hang on. Let's just wait a moment. So, please say what you're going to say. But I'm just interested to what sense, what people's kind of felt experience of gratitude is, how it actually feels in the body. Could you say anything about that?
Mm, yeah.
Yes.
Feelings are quite transient, but sometimes tangible, precise to cross. Like now. I've been definitely in a sense of if gratitude could be a feeling, I'm definitely in it now, sitting here appreciating the aesthetics of the space, the solidarity of people, your insightful eloquence and your general light touch with holding space. And how that relates to my felt experience. As I said, I'm a bit reticent to try and articulate feelings sometimes because, yeah, I find it difficult to sort of put a name to them.
Okay.
I've got a vocabulary around it, but actually, on a real now, I'm not entirely in this moment. I'm quite happy. I feel open. That's about as good as I can get with regards to
expression. I think gratitude is a... does have that. Well, you know, I'd say positive emotions will tend to have an expansive quality.
And connection. That's what I was alluding to, wasn't it, when I went a little bit wordy. You said, go back to your body a little bit gently.
I know there was something you were going to say, because anyone else have any... Could they say any kind of felt sense?
Inspiration to immediately... So, you become inspired by, if you see someone help you, you feel a gratitude, and then it's just really inspiring to want to be able to do that for someone else.
Oh. Okay. Yeah, that kind of passing it on.
Well, I guess... I don't know.
But if there were a place, that you were feeling gratitude, where in the body, where could you say where it was?
Yes, it's here.
Okay. So I mean, I think there is some interesting science around the effect of gratitude on our what's called our social nervous system. So. But that is very much connected with the heart. So, I mean, one of the things that happens with gratitude, I mean, we can feel it kind of, you know, when we're on the cushion and we're not necessarily looking at anyone. But there's, you know, when we look at someone with gratitude, or we say something, you know, we speak about something with gratitude, there's often a very particular kind of tone in the voice. Yeah, and we talk about, you know, feeling gratitude from the bottom of our hearts. Yeah, and certainly, I don't know if it's there in Buddhism, but certainly in the Sufi tradition, where they are quite specific about which emotions sit in which bits of the heart, so top, bottom, left, right, front and back, gratitude is understood to come from the bottom of the heart. Maybe look for that very specific location to it as well. So kind of hearing gratitude, expressing gratitude helps to literally apply the vagal break, which is kind of helps to slow down our whole heart, gut opens up, just like you said, creates connection and develops oxytocin, which as we know is the bonding hormone, the love hormone, connection. Yeah. So, you know, there's a direct link between an expression of gratitude and the production of oxytocin.
It does
other things in the brain which are kind of interesting as well, but
No, I mean, like you all have said, I feel like it has so much to do with connection, in the sense that when I feel gratitude, I feel a connection, a oneness with the universe, in the sense that everything is okay. And I often find that in meditation, it's connected to a calmness, a serenity, a peace, where everything is still. And I don't know, I guess, I mean, all of my life I've been looking for a way to feel okay with myself. And I think when I'm in gratitude, I feel okay.
Well, because there's that very nice link between gratitude and grace. Yeah. Etymologically, they're from the same.
Yeah.
They're from the what is it? Gratus in Latin, which means thankful. And I think there is that sense that, you know, when we're if our if our experience of being in the world is one of gratitude, then you know, we are in a kind of state of grace.
This is what came up for me, because it's quite important for me to articulate this, because it's a block of the potential I could have, about actually feeling gratitude, because by definition, life is a gift, it's not a given. Wonderful, beautiful, amazing, all the, you know, tapestry of life and difficult and everything, you know what I mean? Talking about, say, choosing one's family, parents, situations. Say, for example, if someone's been receiving end of some extreme violence, for example, and consequentially it's affected their life detrimentally, changed their life. How does one forgive, forget, and even perhaps say, yeah, that's something that I'm really grateful for, because someone's been through abuse.
That's
and then consequentially they find becoming more conscious. Let's get to you're talking about the grit in your essay now.
Well, sure. I think that's a bit ask, big ask. I mean, in Shantideva, which is this kind of extraordinary book on the Bodhisattva's way of life. He talks about being a block of wood for other people to hit.
Talks about Bodhisattva's way of life being a block of wood for other people to
hit. He asks to be a block of wood for other people to strike. But yes, I think that's a that might be an inspiration, but it's a fairly highly developed practice.
Highly developed practice, it's a poetic metaphor to get out.
So let's try and find people that even if we have been abused in whatever way, hopefully there are people in our lives that have loved us and that we can be grateful to.
Yes.
And perhaps even if there isn't that, then we can still be grateful to nature. I know people who've been through a lot of trauma in their lives for whom that their relationship with nature is what's really kind of brought them through. Actually, I've got a friend who lived in a willow tree for 6 months, on the basis that the willow is the healing tree, because of its relationship with aspirin and salicylic, and it's renowned as being the healing tree. So,
literally lived in a tree, tree house.
I'm just going to invite us all just to bring to mind one person that they feel grateful to, and just turn to the person next to you. Are we an even number? Two. Okay, friends. So we're gonna let me so yeah. There was a nice feeling in the room when that was going on, so I hope that was it was nice to share that with each other. And again, just notice the felt sense. This is a song, South American, Thanks to Life. So, and I love the song, so I hope you do too.
Cuando los abro, perfecto distingo, lo negro del blanco, y en el alto cielo, su fondo estrellado. Y en las multitudes del hombre que yo amo, gracias a la vida.
ha dado tanto, me ha dado el sonido y el abecedario, con las palabras que pienso y declaro, madre, amigo, hermano, y luz alumbrando la ruta del alma del que estoy amando. Gracias a la vida que me ha dado tanto, me ha dado la marcha de mis pies cansados. Con ellos anduve ciudades y charcos, playas y desiertos, montañas y llanos, y la casa tuya, tu calle.